The West Virginia primary this week will not decide anything in the presidential race, and the talk in this campaign of restoring coal, compensating unemployed miners, if anything, just aggravates the feeling that history is passing one of this state's main industries by. In 1997, a record 181,914,000 tons were produced in booming West Virginia. That was the peak. But since 2008, coal production has fallen nearly 39%. The unemployment rate hovers around 6.5%. Nationally, it's 5%. The ripple effect is being felt as teachers are being laid off. Schools are closing. So the candidates speak in rousing promises about reopening mines. Hillary Clinton has talked openly about closing down coal companies as part of her environmental strategy. And Bernie Sanders, the socialist, appeals to organized labor in his talk of economic justice. But he, too, believes climate change is also going to change West Virginia. What do miners think? Well, there's plenty of support for Donald Trump in this state, and also Bernie Sanders. Here's retired miner Raymond Walters.
The only person that seems to be a voice of reason in a sea of confusion is Senator Bernie Sanders. I don't know everything about him. I've not really read up on him or followed him a lot. But when I do listen and watch him, he seems to be the voice of reason out of what we have to choose from.
Sea of confusion in this election. Rick Ryan is a retired miner from Lincoln County, West Virginia. Rick, do you feel that sea of confusion this time around in 2016?
Yes, I do. It's very complicated, and there's been a lot of talk.
And who do you think miners are supporting? Who are they looking to? What rhetoric is attracting the attention of coal miners in West Virginia?
Well, Trump, he came into the state and, you know, put a hard hat on and act like he was shoveling coal. And he said, you know, he's going to put coal miners back to work. And a lot of people, you got to realize in this state right now, we feel like we've had the wind knocked out of us. And everybody's trying to gasp for breath, and they're trying to latch on to anything or anybody they think that can help them. And Trump come in here and he's telling everybody that he's going to put them back to work just as soon as he becomes president. You know, they're going back to work, but he's never mentioned the first time how he's going to do this. We've had Bernie Sanders come in, and if you listen to him, he doesn't want to use gas or coal. Hillary Clinton came in, and my wife and I and three other couples, we got to sit down with her for about an hour and 20 minutes, and we had an open discussion. We got to ask her anything we wanted to and tell her anything we wanted to, and we just tried to convey to her how bad of shape that the southern part of this state is and how devastated we are and what's happened to the jobs around here.
Rick Ryan, do you chart a pathway from here to a state that isn't so dependent on coal, that might have fundamentally different kinds of industries, rely maybe a lot more on tourism, manufacturing? Can you see that road ahead?
Well, I mean, we can see a little bit up now. We do have some tourism into the southern part of the state with the Hatfield-McCoy Trail Systems. It's a four-wheeler motorcycle trail system. We've got, I think it's up to like 500 or 600 miles of it right now. And they add on to that ever so often. We need more of that. People is buying onto that, putting campgrounds in, hotels, which all that helps. But we need mainline industry jobs here. You know, it's hard to replace a coal mining job when it takes 3 to 4 minimum wage jobs to replace that one job.
Is the union helping? Does the union have any strategy other than ride the industry down to the bottom of the sea?
I believe the union is open for any kind of jobs we can get into this part. You know, they know is probably better than anybody how hard this has hit.
What about your congressional delegation? I mean, can they address any of these issues? Because it doesn't sound like the presidential candidates are going to do anything other than pay lip service. And in the case of Hillary, I mean, if she does get elected, you know, that plan is part of the fine print in West Virginia. There's all kinds of other provisions in that energy plan. But, you might see a benefit, you might not.
Well, you know, that way I feel right now, that's with any of the three that's running right now. You know, I hope one of them can help. You know, like I said, Trump's he's saying he can fix it overnight, and I just don't think that it's going to be fixed overnight. It's going to be something that's going to take a long, drawn-out, hard look to try to get industry back. I don't think the coal jobs will go back to where they were at just 10 years ago.
Well, Rick Ryan, have you made a decision on who you're going to vote for?
The way it's looking right now, after I got to talk to Hillary Clinton, that I guess I'm going to have to go with her.
Rick Ryan is a retired miner from Charleston, West Virginia. Thanks so much, Rick.
Thank you.
There may be a certain cruelty in this moment of political cheerleading in Charleston, West Virginia, earlier this month.
Trump digs coal. Look at that. Trump digs coal. That's true. That's true. I do. I just think you're amazing people. And you watch what happens. If I win, we're going to bring those miners back. You're going to be so proud of your president. You're going to be so proud of your country. You watch.
Donald Trump has the endorsement of the West Virginia Coal Association, who see President Obama's carbon emission regulations being challenged in the courts as a war on coal. But the war coal is fighting is against economic reality. Demand for coal is declining. The number of jobs in West Virginia has gone from about 24,700 in 2011 to 14,500 today. In the last 2 years, six U.S. coal companies filed for bankruptcy. Banks say they won't finance new coal-fired power plants, citing slow growth and high risk of default. Is there life after coal that the candidates should be talking about with the people of West Virginia? Tom Hansel directed the documentary After Coal. He's a filmmaker who teaches Appalachian Studies and Documentary Studies at Appalachian State University. And he says there is life after coal.
Some people have been ready to move on and diversify their economy for decades. And there are, in fact, several strong community organizations working to create a new and diverse economy. There's, I think, a really healthy movement that, with a little more support, can really help the regional economy turn the corner. I'm also concerned that we're not hearing that same level of support in the political rhetoric. We're really hearing, well, if we can just get rid of regulations, that coal jobs will come back. And I'm afraid that that's maybe an empty promise, particularly because we've heard the head of one of the largest coal companies, Arch Minerals, say, before they filed for bankruptcy, say that they were making a deliberate move out of the Appalachian coal fields, investing in the Western coal fields, because they just didn't see it being economical to produce coal in West Virginia anymore.
And yet Donald Trump says, Trump digs coal, Trump digs coal. I think you're amazing people, looking at miners, the Democrats saying similar sorts of things, offering billions of dollars in aid to fossil fuel workers in their communities, job retraining. Even Bernie Sanders, who's very pro-climate change and moving away from fossil fuels, has attracted a lot of attention in West Virginia because he appeals to the working class. What explains all of that?
Well, I think there is somewhat of a nostalgia of the coal industry and the good old days and full employment. Really, one of the basic things that you can see is that there actually is a role of government to play. It's not just private industry. And where you can see the government playing a successful role is in the reclamation of mine sites. That it's really difficult to do any kind of economic development or community development if you don't have a consistent source of clean water.
Why haven't we heard rhetoric about reclamation? We hear rhetoric about retraining and, you know, compensation and those sorts of government welfare programs for people who are affected by mine closures, but nothing about economic development in those sorts of sustainability terms where you're reclaiming land, restoring water, and allowing the communities to rebuild on their own.
I think those are the kind of details that maybe don't make the neat sound bites and may miss out on the stump speeches. I actually do think if you look at what's called the Power Plus plan that was part of Obama's budget proposal, there is actually money to spend out of the Abandoned Mine Lands Fund on reclamation. And I believe there's a way that that plan connects mine reclamation along with retraining or employing former miners to do the mine reclamation, to provide the foundation for sustainable development.
Tom Hansel directed the documentary After Coal. He teaches Appalachian Studies and Documentary Studies at Appalachian State University. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Traveling down that coal town road, listen to my rubber tires whine. Goodbye to Buckeye and white sycamore. I'm leaving you behind.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.